At Firestone Complete Auto Care, we hold our service to the highest standard. That's why we have thousands of ASE-certified expert technicians nationally. So if you're looking for car service that's got your back on the road, choose the place that treats every car like their own and every customer like family. Don't wait any longer. Call your local Firestone Complete Auto Care and book your next appointment today.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
Go Loud presents Murder Most Irish. Find it first on the Go Loud app and on all major podcast platforms.
Where did you get the chicken, the bites?
Right, so here's
Sarah's,
the scandal.
Sarah's got food poisoning.
I've got food poisoning, but it's not regular food poisoning. So I got salt and chili chicken chunks. Try say that.
Salt and chili chicken chunks.
Salt and chili chicken chunks.
What do they look like? Are they like...
They're big chunks of chicken covered in like corn flour batter.
At least that's, it's from them.
And then they put like, there's like salt and chili seasoning on them.
Yeah.
And they're obviously deep fried.
Yes.
And then I got a garlic dip with them.
Okay. Okay, this does sound really good.
I'm not gonna lie, I have been like, this isn't a new thing for Sarah.
Yeah, this sounds really good.
She has been living this life for the last 3 weeks. This has been my ADHD
fixation.
Right? And the first time I ate them, I was like, oh, they don't really agree with me.
Okay.
So I won't eat them often.
How many times should I go back?
Two more times. Second time,
just try it out.
I was like, oh, they are like, I have immediate heartburn and indigestion and I couldn't get it to go away for the whole day. But I'm whatever they put in this shit, like crack. Third time, went back yesterday. Had to bring the girls to dance and I didn't have time to have lunch. So I was like, I bring the girls in to get, they got, Lily got a sandwich and Laurie got like popcorn chicken.
Okay.
And they can have that on the way to dance. And I didn't have any lunch, so I was like, I'll get myself a little salt and chili chicken chunk. I got six.
Again.
I
had
four. I knew I had done something bad and I knew it was
wrong.
Was
it like instant?
It was like within 2 hours of the food starting to digest, I could feel it like in between my fucking tits. Just like this.
It was just sitting there.
But it was like this ball of intense heat.
Are they spicy?
Yeah.
Sarah, right. Why'd you go back 3 times?
Anyway, Then I was like, did everything I needed to do, came home, and Graham made me like chicken fried rice. And I was like, I can't eat that. I feel terrible. And he was like, okay. And he was like, what'd you eat today? I told him what I ate. And he was like, is that all you ate? And I was like, yeah. I was like, but I can't eat anything. It's fucking, like my stomach is on. It's like a big, and it was like not heartburn. It was like the most intense indigestion. I was like belching and my belch tasted like gas.
Oh, Sarah.
I was like, this stuff is not breaking down in my system.
Yeah, you have something. There's right? Something that's not agreeing with you in that, dude.
So then I went to bed, didn't feel right. I had a cup of tea because I was like, I need something. So I had a cup of tea, got into bed, 2 a.m., woke up. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
And then, you know the way I do that thing where I'm like, hey, it's too far gone. That thing is on its way to Pipetown.
You've no choice here.
Can't get this out. So then I was like, heaving. Because I was like, I did a poop and I threw up. And then I threw up all night.
Fuck, dude.
And then I went back to sleep at about 6 and then I woke up at 8 and I threw up. And then Graham gave me toast, like a piece of toast and a cup of tea.
Yeah.
I ate that and I threw that up.
Oh, dude.
And I'd highly recommend the salt and chili chicken chunks.
That shop. Last place God made.
Like.
Lawless down there.
I love that shop.
Whenever I go in there, I'm like, what new nonsense is going on in this place today?
I used to live above that shop.
Something is always kicking off.
Mm.
Like, hey,
do you know what did make me laugh this week? Just to completely change the subject.
Go on.
The fact that someone, Microsoft painted MS-13 on a picture of that man's hand because they were saying that the symbols that he had tattooed on his hand meant MS-13. And Donald Trump thought that the Microsoft paint image, which was describing the MS-13 and being like, these are symbols, this means an M, this, which it doesn't. But he thought that that was the tattoo. And he went on CNN and the guy was like, no, they're photoshopped. And he was like, no, they're not photoshopped. Like, but he meant that the MS-13 piece was photoshopped to tell you. To
demonstrate.
And the president of America was like, no, the paint, and not even Photoshop, the MS paint, the Microsoft paint piece on that picture is a physical tattoo on that man's hand. He has MS-13 tattooed on his hand. Did you not see the picture? Did you not see the picture? I was like,
very big picture.
Hey, it's a very big picture. Like,
Sarah,
I was just like, stop the fucking light.
Oh, stop the boat. The amount of Americans moving over here is crazy.
Yeah, I don't blame them.
I got a taxi last week and the taxi driver was telling me, he was like, you would not believe the amount of people that I pick up. He was like, that are moving to Ireland.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane.
I do not blame them.
And they're all moving down the country and all the house prices in the country are going to go through the roof.
Yeah. Like, I would, if I was American.
But welcome to Ireland, because if you're coming here, you're not coming here because you support President Trump. You're coming here because you do not support him and you can't live there anymore. And then people are like, yeah, your carrot's leaving. Stay and fight. Stay and fight what?
Yeah.
Your police state.
Yeah.
Stay and fight and get a machine gun through your head.
He's trying to pull the funding of NPR.
I saw that. And PBS.
He did, one, legally, that's not something the president of the United States can do. But, I mean,
Sesame Street is woke.
Like, yeah. It's like woke.
Sesame Street is DIE, do you know?
Like,
hello, everybody.
Hi, welcome to this
episode. Can you believe
we're
recording an episode? It's a small miracle.
It is a small miracle. My fingers smell like I've been finger banging somebody because I just had a packet of Skips.
The worst crisps.
Finger bang. Finger bang.
On like a list of the... Oh, no. Not, they're not the worst crisps. On a list of the worst crisps for me personally, it goes Hot Lips, then them.
Why Hot Lips?
They're fucking disgusting. They're rotten. I hate them.
What flavour are Hot Lips?
I don't know. The 80s.
They're like a weird...
Every E number you could possibly think of was shoved in that bag of crisps. I hated them.
Do they have Hot Lips in the UK? Reach out. I don't think so.
Hot Lips were rotten. I hated Skips. I don't like prawn flavoured anything.
I like a packet of Skips and I used to love the ad. Do you remember the ad for Skips where it was like it sizzles on your tongue?
Oh, yeah. Goes,
yeah.
On your tongue, yeah.
It doesn't do that anymore.
It doesn't do that anymore. They took... Everything's changed. Everything has changed. The taste of everything has changed.
I used to love... Do you remember French fries?
Are they in the blue bag?
Well, they don't exist anymore.
Blue and silver bag?
They were in a blue and silver bag.
Yeah, I remember them.
And they had a French man on the front with baguette.
Oh, I do remember them.
And they were like this intense...
Oh, no, wait. Am I thinking of chipsticks?
No, chipsticks were red.
Oh, I do
and
remember
them. And were salt and vinegar.
Yeah.
French fries were like this intense onion...
Yeah.
Umami.
You like an onion flavoured thing.
Oh, nom nom nom.
Like,
nom,
you
nom.
Like onion rings. The actual food and the crisp.
I like onion rings and I love Johnny Onion Rings.
Johnny Onion Rings.
People listen to this are going to be like, these are Irish crisps. You can't get them anywhere else.
I'm sure
they don't exist.
I'm sure everybody's heard Garen Noon roaring about them for 25 minutes on some video anyway.
I don't think he's talked about crisps.
But yeah, I fucking hate Skips.
What about meanies?
Love meanies. Love Banshee Bones.
Oh, okay.
Love Banshee Bones. I'm just saying Banshee weird. Banshee Bones. Banshee Bones. Am I saying
Banshee?
Banshee Bones. Banshee Bones. I know, whatever it is. I like them. What other crisps do I like? Oh, Space Invaders.
These are just meanies.
I love Space Invaders. No, Space Invaders weren't really strong. They weren't as strong. Meanies are like...
We all know what's number one of my crisps.
What?
Don't exist anymore. Bear in the Big Blue House.
Oh, Bear in the Big Blue House were the shit.
Bear in the Big Blue House corn snacks.
So fucking
good. I started
good.
College and Iceland opened in Ballyferma and used to be able to get Bear in the Big Blue House six pack for like a pound
delicious.
Or a euro. And I get a packet of toffee popcorn. I feel like I'm on this show. We have talked about my weight and I'm like, I don't understand what I have a weight issue.
That's just when you were in college, dude.
I know, yeah. Anyway, and I used to get 6 packs of them. That butter kissed toffee popcorn.
Delicious, still around, still around.
A 2 liter bottle of Coke. And then I would come home and lie on the floor of my bedroom and I would watch SpongeBob SquarePants, just the box set, and I would eat all of that and then I'd be fine. I'm very proud of myself because a person was very mean to me at a gig and
she held her tongue.
Genuinely was like, I'll go to prison for this.
Yeah, because that's what I was like, and I knew, when I was like, what is happening? And then you were like, I can't say anything. We're in the States. Like,
yeah.
I'll
never get back in.
End of jail. She was a cheeky little cunt, that one. I found her on Instagram, by the way.
Did she?
Yeah, because she's friends with that band. And I was like, I'm going to find her. And I found her.
Give over.
Yeah, I'll send her your page.
Private message her. She'd be like, you need to understand what gig etiquette is. What a
little cunt. Also, can I just say, I'm going to sound like an old woman and I don't care. Because I am an old woman. I was at a gig last night. If you're going to a show, if you're going to a gig, please learn that just because there's a lot of people and you're at a gig, you don't get to act like a cunt and be a rampant little shithead and shove people out of the way. When even the concert hasn't even started and you're shoving people out of the way, gig etiquette is dead, dude. It's dead and gone.
Did you hear the thing about David Gray?
No.
Right, so David Gray is coming to play. David Gray's playing in the next couple of weeks, I think. And he played last year in the Three Arena, which I just don't.
That's like. Wild.
People, wild to me.
He's where's the only reason that man had a career?
Like, anyway, maybe it wasn't the Three Arena. Maybe it was the Olympic. Anyway, it was
one of those.
One of whatever. And he has stopped the bar being open during the show at this year's one.
Okay.
Because he was like, last year was so. Was it really unbelievably messy? Atrocious. It was like it was just like people can't, because like, no offense, Dave Gray, but you have 2 songs that people
also
know.
What is anybody doing at a Dave Gray show?
Right? Like, and they're waiting for that song. Play that song.
Play the song.
First. And then last. Again. And then they'll say.
Yeah.
People were like, yeah, no, honestly, it was insane. Just people lost. Very, very drunk. And like 20 to 30 times up and down, up and down, up yep, and down.
He's like a He's like a acoustic guitar dude. So you're kind of, but that's what I mean. There are certain events that you go to where you're like, you can behave a certain way. But if you're at a singer songwriter night and somebody is playing a guitar, what the fuck are you doing going to the bar 40 times and making noise?
Yeah.
Like if you're at a punk show, whatever, no one gives a shit. But like, this is what I mean, gig etiquette said, dude. I'm like, it's almost like after the pandemic, everybody just lost their minds.
Mm.
Like I was at Kneecap and I was like, I am actually going to fucking kneecap someone.
Oh, really?
So what are you little cunts doing? Like, I've been to so many gigs where everybody's having the crack and everybody's having fun and jumping up and down and moshing. That's fine. But there comes a level of it where you're like, you're still in a fucking social area.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Because yeah, like, even that girl that said that thing to me when we were in the States, we went to see, who was it?
We went to see Ceremony.
And we were upstairs on like a balcony bit and she was like beside me. Like, we're right at the balcony, right at the edge of it. And she was beside me. She could see.
Yeah.
And I was recording the gig for Emma because Emma was like,
I was back a little bit.
Back a little bit. And she was like, I don't want to watch the gig through your phone. And then I was like, as a person that was like, de-escalate the situation, I was like, because she was a little bit shorter than me.
Yeah.
I was like, do you want to maybe stand where I'm standing?
Where are you standing? Yeah.
And I'll stand to your side of you. And she was like, no, I've been here first. And I was like, yeah.
We're
no,
in the same place, you dumb bitch. Place.
And then when that girl came back up to
Maya,
us,
yeah.
I let her to go into my place so she could see. And that girl like stepped and put her arm in to like block her. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here? And then I was like, well, now I'm dug in. So then I was like, I'm not leaving this fucking spot ever.
Like when you told me, she said to you, I don't want to watch the show through your phone. Then don't.
Yeah. I was like, dude.
You're choosing to look at my phone. It's not, you didn't have it in her face.
No.
You were here and she was like beside you.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll knock this skinny little cunt over the balcony. I was so mad.
Yeah, I was like,
I was seething. But this is what I mean. It's like, there's not.
Oh, and then she went to me. My friend is in the band.
Bitch, I don't fucking care.
And I want to see my friend. And I was like, yeah. I was
go
like,
downstairs.
I went to her. I've offered you a solution. I've offered you to swap places with me. You're not willing to. So I'm not willing to in any way change my behavior now.
Fuck you.
And she just looked at me and I was like, so we're just going to stay like this for
stalemate,
the night.
Stalemate, bitch. Stalemate. Also, if your friend is in the band, go side stage.
Yeah.
Is your friend in the band?
No.
Or is it just somebody that doesn't like you that was like, go stand up at the balcony?
Yeah.
But yeah, I sound like an old woman giving out. But last night I was like, if these little fucks knock into me one more time, like the show hadn't even started. Like, this is what I'm talking about. When you're in the pit, or whatever, I wasn't in the pit, but when you're in the pit, you expect people to knock into you, you expect drinks to get spilled on you. That's the thing you're putting yourself in for. I am down with that. But when you're standing near the back and the show hasn't started and they're ramming into you, and not even, I was like, what is happening here? But anyway, don't do that. Try and be cool at shows. Like, people have lost fucking minds. Like, I will go to a hardcore show and people are more respectful of people's space than they are at these gigs, because it's like, when you're doing that thing, when you're doing the like washing or whatever, people are aware that's happening.
Yeah.
And they have like a boundary for it. But like, nobody's coming up the back and punching people in the head. Like, because you understand you're at the back for a reason. But anyway, I went to see Viagra Boys last night and they were fucking unbelievable. They were phenomenally good.
Me and Emma went to see Rival Schools this week. And they were amazing.
So
and
good the gig as well.
Was so good. And actually, everybody there was lovely.
Everybody was lovely because why? Because they're old.
Old. Gig etiquette.
Gig etiquette. And it's not even like Gen Z versus millennial. It's when we've been going to gigs for a lot longer than them.
Yeah.
So it's like, we understand that you don't do that shit. Like, just be cool. Just be cool. That's all it is.
Yeah,
just
and
be
you
cool.
can get through a crowd. Just say, excuse me.
Literally. And not even like, because what I'm doing when I'm getting through a crowd, I kind of like stand sideways and push myself. They were like ramming into me. Like, no bother. This one girl behind me, I was like, if she does it one more time. She knew by me. I got my period this morning and I was like, why am I so angry? And I was like, oh, I got my period this morning. But I was like, if this fucker rams into me one more time. Her boyfriend actually said to her, stop.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then there was a guy standing right here and she was like, shouting, screaming into his ear. Like, I could see him flinching. And then she ran to her boyfriend and she was like, I'm just going to do it one more time. I was like, if you're
one more time,
scream in the man's ear, because she thought it was funny. I was like, if this, your bitch ass doesn't get knocked out before the end of the night, I'll fucking pay 20 euros to somebody. I'm going to do it one more time. Are you high? What is wrong with these people? You're at a gig, man. And everybody's here for the same fucking reason.
Yeah.
We're all here just to see the band and have a good time. And you think it's funny to be roaring in people's ears on purpose? Anyway, morons. Also, men over 5'9" should not be allowed into a venue. I said what I said. Outside, put a TV screen up for them. Stand there in the cold. And fuck off, go to the back. You're 6'7". Oh.
Do you remember that gig we were at in recently? Who was it we went to see? I'd never heard of them and I really liked them. It was in that venue. Matthew was with us.
Descendants.
And there was that one like guy that was like 7 foot something.
Oh,
remember?
That dude.
And he was like,
his head was touching the
ceiling of the venue we were in. And it did not matter where you were in this venue, you could see him.
It was like, it would have been handy to be like, if you couldn't find someone, do you see the really tall guy? Yeah. I'm like to the left of the room.
Yeah, door. Like he was like,
he's up at the bar and his head was like at the ceiling.
But he also was like incredibly tall, but he was wearing big New Rocks as well.
He wasn't helping the situation.
I was like, dude, how are you living?
In this country
very
as well?
Tall people as well die sooner.
Well, there we go.
Just so you're aware.
That's lovely. R.I.P. Yeah. Man of the Descendants. Jesus Christ. Imagine if you just got up to him in a casual conversation. You know, you'll die before.
I did say that to a tall guy once. It's like, poor, you know, tall men. Really tall people die earlier than shorter people.
Well, there we go. That's a bit of information. Anybody tall listening to this? So long, farewell, if you just sang. Also, massive shout out to Louis Theroux, who will never hear this. But the balls on that man. Balls of brass. Fuck Israel.
Like, he did good
work.
Into
the sea at this point. Into the ocean. I don't care. Fuck every single politician who was standing by and watching children being ripped to shreds by bombs they are paying for. And then turning around and investigating kneecap. Coachella said, hey, let's invite a band called kneecap who wear balaclavas and espouse chuckier law every day of the week and talk about Palestine all the time to Coachella and then throw them under the bus the second it comes back. When I tell you drove the bus over them. Like, kneecap aren't perfect. Nobody is perfect. But they are one of the only bands that has been vocal. Like, the bands that are signing this letter for them now haven't even been vocal.
No. Idols.
Like, Idols started as soon as they got back from their American tour, and they knew they couldn't lose money.
They didn't mention it in Rolling Stone.
No, they shut the fuck up in the States and they came back to the UK and they were like, free Palestine. Yeah. Then it started. But like, there are some, I saw bands list names listed on that thing, on the letter. And I was like, but you, none of you have spoken up for Palestine. Like, they have stood 10 toes down. They have not moved from where they and their stance on it. And it's, and people are like, it's not, it's a, who cares what famous people think? It's not what famous people think. It's the fact that they went to Coachella and there were American kids coming up to them going, thank you, because I can't talk about this.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to say this. And you are saying it. So that's important, you know?
Sharon Osbourne needs to shit herself to death publicly. That would be
record
great
a bitch.
Did you see she was on Piers Morgan?
No, what was she doing?
Well, of course she was on Piers Morgan, because he's another fucking racist, yeah, bigoted sack of shit.
What was she saying?
She said there was a guy speaking and he was talking about like the fact that like aid hasn't gotten into Gaza in 60 days. Not a scrap of medicine, not water, no aid has got through into Gaza because they are blowing it up. And he was talking about that happening and she just started to shout, well, that's what you did to us. And I think what? She thought he was like German, but I was like, what are you talking about? But I was just like, this woman is on Piers Morgan because obviously he would have her on.
They're friends, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because when she got thrown off the talk for being a racist sack of shit.
Oh, I forgot about that.
He came out and stood up for her and she came out and stood up for him,
yeah, of course
when he got called out for being a racist sack of shit.
So there's just two pieces of shit, yeah, basically. Yeah. I feel like the botched surgeries have destroyed her brain at this point. Like, it's created some sort of worm in her, yeah, brain. But like, it's, I just think it's remarkable how quickly they moved to try and destroy Kneecap, but none of them have said a single word about us watching babies' heads being blown off. Like, I can't.
Parents walking around with their dead babies' feet in a plastic bag.
Like, I can't deal with it anymore.
Because
like,
that's all that exists.
I don't know what to do. Like, I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help. I don't know what to do. And yeah, it's like, marching is so important and protesting is so important and vocalizing.
But it isn't
and being
helping,
like,
and it isn't
changing anything. They don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care. And then there's people who are actually trying to make change and who are physically going in and stopping things happening and physically going in and shutting down, or, you know, factories that are creating certain things. And now they're in jail, not getting due process. And like the Filton 18, they're not getting any due process. Free Ola, by the way, like, they're getting no due process. They're getting nothing. And it's like, what do we do here?
Yeah.
And to watch Louis Theroux walk into Israel and just not say anything.
Just let them.
Just go, but what do you mean? And to say to a woman, you know, you don't believe that Palestinian children should have rights. And, you know, that sounds sociopathic. And all she said was, it's not sociopathic. I'm a Jew.
Yeah.
So in her brain, because she's Jewish, she can do anything she wants and it's okay because her people were in a Holocaust.
Yeah.
And I don't understand. Like, I don't understand any of this. I don't get it. I my brain just doesn't.
Like, also the guy that was like, I'm not comfortable with you calling it Palestine. It's Judea. You're from Texas.
We live in
first and foremost.
Texas.
And, you know, let's say when I go to Turkey, I don't call it Persia.
No.
Because it doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. I can say, hey, the Persian Empire, yeah, was here. When I was in Greece, which was part of the Ottoman Empire, I can be like, hey, this is where the Ottoman Empire, yeah, once stood, but now it's Greece.
Yeah, like, you don't walk into Greece and go,
I'm in the Ottoman Empire today. Like,
it is a cult in action. And the most frustrating part is it is a cult in action that are never going to stop and they are never going to face any repercussions for what they're doing. And I know that's really depressing, but it's true. Like, they are destroying an entire people, and some of our politicians are speaking up. The politicians aren't saying anything.
Mm.
The Hague should be full, and the Hague are like, la la la,
yeah,
la 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 la, we can't say it's a genocide. They have full control over the food and water and electricity and resources these people have, and they're bombing them out of the sky, and they've nowhere to go.
Oh.
And they've said they're not going to stop until they're all dead, but it's not a genocide.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know a lot of people are going through the exact same thought processes that we're going through currently. Anyway, everything is insane. But I know it's easy to say, but I hope everybody's...
That's
okay.
Colin having a wink in the room next door.
Oh my God, that's disgusting. Sarah J! Colin, cut that out!
Leave that in.
Housekeeping.
Housekeeping! Yeah. I have to go pick up my kids soon.
Oh!
I wasn't meant to.
We are playing the Laughter Lounge on the 24th of July at 7. The doors are at 7 p.m. The show starts at 8. It's going to be myself, Sarah Jane, and Colin, obviously. And he's going to do all this cool stuff that he does.
It's Matrix themed.
It's Matrix themed. I don't know what that means. We're going to find out when we get there, I'm sure. The tickets are, as I said, €25. It's on sale now. We would love to see you there. And we're excited.
I'm actually really excited.
I think it's
going
to be fun. Yeah,
I want to have fun compared to the last one where I didn't have fun. I did have fun doing the show, in the show, but I didn't have fun in and around the show.
No, Sarah was freaking the fuck out.
I'm excited about being back. I know we have been sporadic recording. We are trying to get back into it, but it will be a really fun night. One of the stories I want to do. I want to do on this.
Okay,
but it's a really fucking funny story.
Well, keep it. You want to keep it for the live show.
I don't know. We'll have a chat later.
Anyway, yes, we would really love for you guys to come. Thank you to every single person that has already bought tickets. We appreciate it. It's nearly halfway sold out. So it would be great if you guys could come and see us and say hi. And this time I will be more social.
Why are you telling lies?
I'll try and be more social. I'll try my best. I'll try my best to be more social.
I'm always. I come out.
Sarah comes out.
You're all sick of me.
I just get really like, and then I keep saying to people, was it okay? Like, I find myself doing that. Like, did you have fun? Because I'm terrified they didn't have fun. Like, I'm so worried that people didn't have fun.
No one's going to tell you that one.
I'm not if they were like, yeah, it was shit. Like, I'm like, yeah, probably was. You're not wrong.
Don't come.
No, everybody come. Thank you so much to everybody who's bought tickets.
Yeah, no,
already.
Really, thank you very really much to all the people that bought tickets. It's the summer in Dublin, which is always a good time.
Yes, it'll be lovely.
And it will be a good crack.
But yeah, that's it. I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
If you buy a ticket now, there will be €25. If you leave it till next week, they're going up €5 a week.
They're not. Imagine if we did do that. People would be like, yeah, we're not coming, you fucking dipshits.
And thanks to everybody who continues to support us on Patreon.
Yes, thank you very, very much.
I actually really like the Patreon. Patreon's I prefer fun. The Patreon to this.
Right, we'll cut that out. thanks guys. And we were going to do our case.
At Firestone Complete Auto Care, we hold our service to the highest standard. That's why we have thousands of ASE certified technicians nationally. So don't wait any longer. Give us a call and book your next appointment today.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
What makes a leader? It's a tough question, but this we know for sure. True leaders lead by example. They take risks and plunge into life with determination. And for real leaders, there's a symbol of high adrenaline and high achievement, the Range Rover Sport. The Range Rover Sport redefines sporting luxury with a dramatic modern design that meets a distinctive sporting character. And a well-appointed cabin brings a sense of occasion to every drive. The active noise cancellation feature filters out unwanted sound, making the cabin a cocoon-like sanctuary. Optional PM2.5 filtration reduces odors, bacteria, and allergens, while CO2 management enhances the wellness of everyone on board. Plus, you can curate the mood of every journey with configurable cabin lighting and bring a hint of refinement to every drive with optional 22-way adjustable, heated, and ventilated electric memory front seats with massage function. Build your Range Rover Sport at rangerover.com/US/sport. That's rangerover.com/US/sport.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Now get two sausage McMuffin with egg sandwiches for just $5. That's right, $5. And with many locations opening at 5 a.m. or earlier, your morning starts when you do. Order ahead on the app, skip the wait, and grab your breakfast on your schedule. It's mornings made better at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Must opt into rewards.
Hey, you! Yes, you! Are you sick of being got at by boredom?
home? Well, Sarah Jane and Emma know the perfect remedy for you. A subscription to the official Murder Most Irish Patreon. For only €6 a month, you can not only support the show, but binge out on exclusive weekly content. Murder Most Irish Patreon for all your murder feminist needs.
Hey guys, so this is going to be a two-part episode. This is the first part. Next week will be the second part. Okay, so I got my sort of references for this case from mainly the Irish Independent, because I pay for it, so I can just go on there and check everything. The Herald, I got stuff from the Irish Examiner, corkbo.ie. I think that's everything. Yeah, and then also Maru in a Mask. There's an episode about this case in Maru in a Mask. So this week, I'm trying to think of trigger warnings. Trigger warnings for stalking, obsessive behaviour, and obviously murder and fire, if that's something, because I know a lot of people have family members who died in fires and they don't like hearing about that sort of stuff. So if that's not something you're interested in, skip to the end for Sarah's amazing story that we better not forget about. So this week I am covering the murder of a woman named Olivia Dunlea. Now it's D-U-N-L-E-A. They were pronouncing it Dunlea on the documentary, but some people were saying Dunlea, so I'm not 100% sure. So I'm going to say Dunlea, so I apologise to anybody who knows her and that's not her name. So in 1985, Jimmy and Anne Dunlea moved to the small town of Ballinlough on the south side of Cork City. A beautiful town, Ballinlough was a predominantly residential area where families raised their children in quiet safety. The couple had three daughters. Olivia, born in 1977, was the eldest, followed by Amanda and then Anne. Olivia began attending the local national school, and her principal at the time, Mary Lucy, recalled her fondly. She was a lovely pupil, sweet and diligent, she told Maru in her mask. She was always smiling and she really enjoyed life. Olivia, Anne and Amanda were exceptionally close. Anne and Amanda looked up to their older sister. They saw how kind, funny and good-hearted she was, and they wanted to be exactly like her. Olivia, who adored children, began working in a play school and met and married her husband, Adrian. They moved to Passage West, a poor town, a 15-minute drive from Ballinlough. Olivia became part of the community immediately. She was a volunteer and committee member of the local youth club, as well as being an amazing neighbour of people in the community. Anne would soon follow Olivia to Passage West, wanting to raise her own children close to her sister. Olivia and Adrian had three children, Aaron, Megan and Dara. And Olivia made sure they were also involved in the community. She would regularly attend events with them, ensuring they took part in sports day and the community games. Olivia adored her children and was exceptionally proud of them. She also spoiled them whenever she could. Megan told Maru in her mask, I love this story, that she remembered her mum telling her siblings that she was bringing Megan to her friend's house and that she herself just had to pop out for an hour for a few errands. Instead, she brought Megan shopping on a girls' trip. We had to hide all the bags when we got home, Megan said, but that's the type of mother she was. Always wanted the best for us and for us to be happy. Olivia was so happy. She loved them to bits. They were her everything, Anne told Corkbo. She was just so good. Always saw the best in everyone. Couldn't see any bad. And her children are the same. So in 2012, following a split from her husband, Adrian, Olivia met a man named Darren Murphy. Darren was 36 and lived close to Olivia in Passage West. The two hit it off and began dating casually. For Olivia, being casual suited her. She had three children and a busy life. However, things soon started to take a turn with Darren. I didn't like him from the start, to be honest, Amanda said, and I think Olivia knew that. I was like, good for you, Amanda. I hope you told her you didn't like him. I love what I'm like when people are like, he's a fucking weirdo.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda said, although Olivia viewed the relationship as casual, Darren began to take it very, very seriously, very, very quickly.
Oh.
Olivia sat her children down and explained that she was going. Darren had asked her like to be his girlfriend, but she needed them to be okay and comfortable with it first.
Okay.
From that day she sat us down, we saw him every single day, Megan said.
Can I ask an out question now?
Go.
Darren have his own house?
I think he lived with his parents.
Yeah, there you go. A man will never love you more than when he has nowhere to live.
And he didn't have a job either.
Oh, there you go. A man will never love you more than when he has like no money and nowhere to live.
Yep. He would come to my nana's if we were in my nana's. If we were at home, he was there. He was always around. Darren had become obsessed with Olivia. His need to know her whereabouts became stalking. Olivia would visit her mother's home and he would text her asking where she was, and then he would just turn up. But this was constantly happening. Like, she would just be like, I'm in my ma's. And then he'd just like knock on the door and they'd be like, why is he here? Why are you here? Fuck off.
Have you ever talked about stalking anybody?
No. I don't. This is... Okay, I'm going to say this. And maybe there's something wrong with me. And I've said this a couple of times. I don't think I've ever loved anyone enough to behave like this. Do you know what I mean? To behave like if I'm not with you. Well, what's the point of being alive? Like, I've never...
It's fundamentally not love.
I know. It's like obsession and codependency.
It's limerence, isn't it?
I've never... Like, I see people... This is terrible. I'm a terrible person. And I've been in love before. But I've never been in the type of love where it's like, oh, I'm going to just give up my whole life. I'm just not going to do things that I want to do because I love you. I'm just going to put aside all the things that I want to do because you need something. I have never been in that type of love. Don't get me wrong. I'm compassionate and I'll do something for somebody. But I've never been like, I see people talking about stuff and I'm like, have I just never been in love? Because this is insane. I don't like men though. Do you know what I mean? So that's always in my head when I'm with someone. I'm like,
but I don't
like men. I don't like being around them too much. Like even when I'm in a relationship with them.
I know.
Like, and then I often feel when they do something, and if I've always felt this, if I'm with somebody and they do something that I know if I told my friends about, they'd be like, leave him, get rid of him. That's like a massive fear for me. To be like, if I said my partner did this thing and they'd be like, why are you staying with him? That's insane. Or, you know what I mean? I don't ever want that. That's a fear I have. So I just kind of dip if it gets that bad. Like, I'd be just like, I'm not interested. Like, if I'm even casually dating somebody and they say or do something that I'm like, no. If I told my friends about this, they'd be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yes.
That's my mentality about it. And I'm like, right, no, I'm dipping.
Okay.
Because I know how bad it is because I don't want to tell my friends.
Okay.
So that's how my brain works.
And I was just wondering how you think about stalking. Like, do you make plans in your head to be a place when they're going to be there?
Oh,
do you
like, absolutely. It's all like, I gotta make sure I can be there when they're there. So, okay. So obviously Olivia was like, this is casual. He was like, no, I love you now and I'm going to be with you.
Forever, no matter where you are.
On Valentine's Day 2013, Valentine's Day 2013, Olivia was surprised to arrive home to find teddy bears and flowers strewn across her property. She couldn't figure out where they came from until Darren told her they were from him. Olivia's smile soon faded when she realised she had never given him a key to their home, to her home.
Oh.
So he had broken in or had made a key.
Oh my God.
And like put loads of Valentine's shit all over the place.
This is creepy.
Yeah,
shit.
And like her sister said, obviously a little bit earlier, that she just gave people the benefit of the doubt. So she would kind of be like, oh, it's okay. He's like, he didn't mean anything. She was constantly trying to find excuses for people.
Don't.
Yeah. No. So the texts and phone calls were constant and insistent, with Murphy constantly inquiring as to whether Olivia was seeing other men. So this started to happen. And this thing that stalkers do, or obsessive men, where they're like, who are you with? Are you with another man?
Yeah.
What was meant to be a casual 6-week relationship was turning into a man who wanted
full
control over Olivia. Darren began lurking outside Olivia's home and her job like an insidious shadow. Everywhere she went, he was there. Her family and friends began to notice it too, and having him anywhere near their homes made them feel incredibly uncomfortable. Olivia was such a kind-hearted person, and told the Irish Times. She gave everyone the benefit of the doubt, and in the end, it was the ruination of her. So on February 11th, 2013, Olivia and her family were celebrating the birth of Anne's little girl, Charlotte. On February 16th, Olivia collected Anne and Charlotte from the hospital and brought them home to their home in Passage West. The entire family was elated. Charlotte was beautiful, and Anne was feeling much better after her stay in hospital. So that night, Olivia decided to go to the local pub, the Rochestown Inn, with Darren. She dropped Aaron, Megan and Dara to her sister Anne's home, where her mother agreed to babysit and continued on to her night out. So her three kids were in her sister's house. Mm. Her sister just had her newborn baby, and then their mum came from Ballinlock to Passage West to look after the kids.
The kids? Including the
newborn? No, so just the three kids.
Okay.
And her own baby. The owner of the pub, Liam Bonner, remembered that Olivia was in great spirits. She was so chatty and bubbly, Liam told the Irish Times. She was in great form that night and passed me several times going outside for a cigarette. She seemed quite happy. It's just so hard to believe that she would be dead in a couple of hours. Darren and Olivia had a couple of drinks and then they got a taxi back to Olivia's house. A number of hours later, Anne woke to feed Charlotte, her newborn baby. And when she checked her phone, she noticed she had a missed call from Olivia. So this is about 1 a.m. If I got a missed call from my sister at 1 a.m., someone's dead.
Mm.
Anne called back, but Olivia's phone was turned off. She tried calling her a number of times and there was no answer, and with a slight panic in her heart, Anne dialed Darren Murphy's number. He answered almost immediately and said to Anne, "Olivia's house is on fire." Anne didn't tell her mother or Olivia's children. She dressed and drove as fast as she could to Olivia's. As she got closer, she started to see smoke billowing from the street Olivia lived on, and then she saw it, her sister's house engulfed in flames. She got out of her car where she saw Darren. He was crying and screaming, "That's my girlfriend's house. That's my girlfriend's house," as a bigger crowd gathered. Anne said she knew Darren had something to do with the fire. Then she started an argument with him outside the house and she kept asking him, "What have you done?"
Oh.
Darren continued his Oscar-worthy performance, wailing and at times trying to run into the house whilst being held back by his neighbours and firefighters. As the firemen tried to get the blaze under control, Anne didn't know if Olivia was in the house and she really prayed that she wasn't. So they weren't sure if Olivia was actually there.
Okay.
So they took him to Toker Garda Station to speak to him about what he knew. As they questioned him, he began calling out Olivia's name, crying and wailing. He even tried to call Olivia's phone number, trying to convince the investigating officers that he didn't know where she was and that maybe she was alive. As the Gardaí spoke to Murphy, Olivia's family waited in horror as the firemen quenched the fire and entered the destroyed home. In the upstairs bedroom, they found a body. The ceiling had collapsed and debris and ashes lay strewn about. On the bed lay Olivia and she was dead. As the news broke, absolute shock and sadness overtook the small town. Olivia was so well known and such a lovely person that people were utterly devastated. None so more than Anne, Amanda and Olivia's parents. Olivia's uncle John spoke to the Irish Independent and told them, "We're all too devastated to say anything. It is absolutely heartbreaking and they, Olivia's parents, are too upset to even talk about it. I was down at the house myself and it was just terrible. It's unbelievable that something like this could happen. Olivia was such a lovely girl and a wonderful mother." So Dr. Mary Cassidy arrived at the scene, and Dr. Mary Cassidy did a documentary series with RTE about her most famous cases, and she said that this case was one of the ones that like deeply impacted her. Like really upset her. And I'm sure it takes quite a bit to rock that woman because she's seen so much shit. But this is the one of the cases she specifically talked about. So Dr. Mary Cassidy arrived at the scene and it was her belief and the belief of the Gardaí initially that maybe Olivia had been smoking in bed and that is what caused the fire. But Olivia's family knew this wasn't true and that Darren Murphy was definitely involved. Having to tell Olivia's children the news was more horrific than the family could even imagine. Their father, Adrian, sat them down and told them there had been a fire. Megan remembers asking her father if the fire had been in their grandparents. But my brother, Aaron, said, is mom okay? And that's when it clicked. It's my mom. Adrian wept as he held his children, age 12, Megan, age 10, and Dara, age 9. "I was downstairs," Amanda said, "and all I could hear was the children screaming."
Oh.
How do you tell your kids that?
I don't, like, I honestly...
How do you tell your kids that?
Like, just being a little kid. Like, I often think of Leslie when I hear these stories. Leslie's dad died when she was 11.
Yeah.
And he just died super suddenly.
Yeah.
And the idea of her mom having to get her kids and tell them that their dad has died. Yeah. When they're, like, so little. Like, there's a difference when you're older.
Yeah, when you're 11, it's like your world is your parents.
Yeah.
It's all you know. You have friends, but mom and dad are your safety. And it's like, they're the only thing I have. And to sit a child down like that and be like, there was a fire.
Mm.
I don't fucking know. The family were in a cycle of shock and devastation. Olivia was gone and her children's home was gone. "We didn't even have clothes to dress them in," Amanda told Maru and Amashk. Everything was gone. So I kind of forget that they were in their aunt's house.
Oh, yeah.
So they were in the clothes they had. Lost. The house was burned to the ground.
Even that thing, their mum is dead and now they've lost.
They've lost everything.
All the memories of her.
All of her pictures, things that she would have bought them.
Their baby clothes. Mementos. Like.
Everything.
You know, like, simple things like your favourite blanket.
It's devastating.
You don't have any, like, something that belonged to your mum.
And like, I know 9-year-olds have memories and I know that. But like, there's a chance that, you know, when you're 9, when you're like 25, you're not going to remember everything. Mm. Like, so to strip those memories from the children as well is just so cruel. Dr. Cassidy carried out her autopsy and it soon became evident that what had happened to Olivia was not an accident. Olivia Dunlea had been stabbed 6 times in her head and neck, and there were traces of carbon monoxide in her lungs, meaning she'd been alive at the time this fire started. It was Dr. Cassidy's opinion that Olivia was incapacitated and that although the stab wounds had not caused a great deal of bleeding, the stab wound to her neck caused spinal shock and, quote, a form of instant paralysis.
Jesus.
Olivia's cause of death was a stab wound to the neck and inhalation of toxic fumes. So he paralysed her and she lay knowing that fire was happening and couldn't move. I tell you this motherfucker. Nah, you know what? I'm not going to start. It's not fun. As the family tried to hold everything, I hate men. So as the family tried to hold everything together for Olivia's children, this news rocked them to the core. So Murphy went in. They questioned him at Toker Garda Station initially. So he was released from questioning. And the following Sunday, he went back to the Garda Station of his own accord. Now, what's going to start happening here is men who think they're smart and they're not and they're really dumb. This time to hand over the clothes he had been wearing on the night of Olivia's murder. Gardaí were already checking CCTV to piece together Olivia's last known movements, and when the image of her and Murphy getting into the taxi was checked, it was soon realised the clothes Murphy had given them was not in fact the clothes he was wearing on the night of the fire. Darren continued to cooperate with the Gardaí. He's like, yeah, I'll tell you everything, man. He told them he went home with Olivia, but the two had argued. He said they'd argued over two men Olivia knew named Foss and Frick.
Foss and Frick?
It sounds like something from the Muppets.
Hey, Foss and Frick are over there.
Yep. So they had a fight because he was like, are you with Foss or Frick?
Of course.
And she was like, get the fuck away from my door.
Yeah.
So she asked him to leave. Murphy said he left her at the door, which nice. I don't. And then he had parked his own car at her house and they'd walk to the pub and they got a taxi home. So he got his keys, got in his own car where he'd parked it and drove home. At approximately 1 a.m, Murphy got a call from one of Olivia's neighbours telling them there was a fire in the house. The neighbour had broken in to save the family pets but did not think Olivia was in the house as her car was not parked in the driveway.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
So the reason, that was the reason, this kind of adds up. The reason the neighbour didn't think she was there is no car in the garden. There's always a car parked there. She was like, she must be gone somewhere with the kids. But her car wasn't there for a reason. So, I can say it now. So basically, he told the Gardaí that he drove his own car, but he didn't.
He drove her.
He took her car out, drove off, and fucked the keys in the river and parked her car somewhere else. So he had actively thought, I'm going to burn this house down and get rid of the car so nobody thinks she's there. Murphy told the Gardaí he drove to Olivia's house straight away. Witnesses said Murphy stopped the car in the middle of the road, still running, so this is when he heard about the fire, and ran to the house to try and get in where he was held back by firemen. So people said he was in the middle of the road like, Olivia!
I want to choke this cunt.
Yeah. Murphy once again left the Gardaí station the next day. So he went again.
Okay.
They were like, what's going on? And they let him go. And then the following day, the Gardaí called to his home and arrested him for the murder of Olivia Dunley. On Wednesday, the 20th of February, Olivia's funeral took place. Mourners lined the streets, sobbing quietly, and the pews of the church were filled with people in shock and grief. Aaron, Megan and Dara sat at the front of the church, their father beside them. Ballinlough Church was crestfallen as Olivia's Aunt Sally began to speak. We've seen a lot of images of Olivia this week, but we want to share the images of our Olivia. I remember the joy we had playing together when she was a little girl. When she had kids of her own, she took that fun with her. She enjoyed everything to do with the play and dressing up. She enjoyed everything with being young and full of life. Olivia's favourite Disney character was Tinkerbell. Her favourite colours were pink and purple. Her favourite lipstick colour was pink. They are the things you didn't hear, but they are the things we love. She was such a sweet and lovely girl, full of love, full of mischief. When you remember her, remember that. That's directly from the Irish Independent. Father Sean O'Sullivan spoke directly to Olivia's children, telling them that he had always found comfort in the phrase, "The souls of our loved ones are in the hands of God. Nothing can ever touch them." He told the grieving children that when he was young and something scared him, he would run to his mother and father. He said, "And as soon as they took us in their arms, no matter what had happened beforehand, we suddenly felt safe because we knew they would never let anything happen to us and we felt secure. Today, I truly believe that Olivia, your mum, feels like that now, that she is safe, she is well, she is in the arms of God and nothing can ever hurt her again." He told the Dunley family that how Olivia was taken from them was an act of cruelty he will never truly understand. He said their pain will remain, but he hopes that each day they remember how truly wonderful Olivia was, it does bring them some comfort. Olivia had a huge capacity for life, for friendship, for fun and for goodness, he said. And such a combination of gifts is a rare and wonderful thing. Perhaps it explains why so many people, young and old, felt at ease in her company. Olivia Dunlea was laid to rest at St. Catherine's Cemetery in Kilcully. So that is the end of the first part of Olivia's story. And next week I will go on to talk about Darren Murphy being arrested and the case and the outcome and how many times he fucking, what you call it, after they're
appealed.
Oh, how many times? So many times. He thought, hey, I did this awful thing and now let me drag their family through this 20 times.
Oh.
Her children, her brothers, her sisters, her mother, her father. That's just... but also the case, I think, is very, very indicative of like how quickly control starts and how quickly obsession can start with a human being, and how a lot of the time people don't really, or they do see the signs, but they kind of normalize it in their head. They're like, oh, it's okay that he called me 72 times.
Yeah.
That means he really likes me. No, that's not what that means.
Yeah.
There's a line that you can kind of cross with that. But Olivia's actually, Olivia's son owns a pet shop in Cork.
Oh.
And he has like a rare animal pet shop. But he was saying, a newspaper interviewed him about opening his own pet shop. And he was saying that when he was younger, his mum just let them have so many animals. She didn't spoil them, but she let them have the things that made them happy.
Yeah.
So the night the fire started, that's the neighbour ran in and rescued the animals.
Oh.
But unfortunately, didn't realise that Olivia was upstairs.
Oh.
Which is a really fucked up part of that case that really, and I feel for that neighbour.
Mm.
Because it didn't make sense. He was like, her car is always in the garden. Why wouldn't her car be there? And the lights were all off. She was like, she must be out. She must be gone somewhere with the kids. Maybe she stayed somewhere. It turns out now that he had actively done that. But yeah, I will continue next week with Olivia's story and just our, you know, deepest sympathies to her family and her friends, because I'm sure that's still very, very raw. And her daughter is the image of her.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. She's the fucking image of her. Her kids are gorgeous.
Oh.
Anyway, yes. That's my
case. Good job.
We'll talk more about it next week. I was saying to Sarah Jane earlier in the podcast that obviously the protests happened in town last week.
Yeah.
That's right. Anybody who's on the right side is an idiot. Don't care if you are, if you're in a family member, they're idiots.
If you have anybody who's on the right side.
I'm so sorry. If they're in your family and you're like, I hate them and they're doing this, I'm really sorry, because that is so shitty. And it wasn't, they were like, it's an anti-government, it's an art. No, you had literal neo-Nazis speaking at this thing. You people Zieg-heiling in the middle of the street. You had people screaming at anybody who wasn't as pale as a ghost to go back to their own country. You had people, men, stopping women who were counter-protesting, telling them they were taking pictures of them. And when the woman asked why, he said it's because he's going to find her later and rape her and burn her body. That's who you were marching with.
Yeah.
There's no two sides to this. There's no like, oh, there's, you know, everybody has their opinion. No. There was the far right and then normal people.
Yeah.
There was the far right who were threatening to rape and murder women on the streets of Dublin. And when she went to the Gardaí and asked what they could do, she was like, oh, just take a picture of him. Cool. You're not going to go up and arrest him for harassment? No? Cool.
Like,
he just told me he's going to rape me and burn my body in the middle of a protest. And you think you're the good guys?
Yeah.
Anyway, can we tell this story?
So I'm going to tell you the story. So obviously the protests were on last week. And on Thursday, a little small protest kicked off here in Ballyfermot.
Back very loud.
Oh, sorry. So there is a warehouse in Cherry Orchard that's empty and has been abandoned for quite some time. And there was discussions that it would become like an asylum seekers
like area or whatever.
Which also, like, if you would see this place, it would just demonstrate that, like, these people aren't coming here out of any other reason than they have to.
Necessity.
Because this is, it's awful. Anyway, scumbags decided to get together and protest. But before they began the protest, the local councillors announced that actually the plan, it wasn't going to happen and they weren't going to use it for that. But they still decided to protest it anyway because they were like, oh, we're being lied to. Right? One of the protesters, if any of you have listened to the podcast, I tell a story about someone thinking the Pope is their dad. He was there and he was very loud and proud.
His dad just died. He's very sad.
All right? His dad did just die. Now, wasn't that Pope?
I know.
It's your Pope. So, if any of you remember that story, that chap was like leading this group.
That's wild.
Now, here's where it gets. So, that chap also, if you gave him money, he used to eat dog shit. Know that that doesn't make me a good person. Right? I never gave him money to do it.
No, Sarah didn't pay him to eat dog shit.
I just would like to state that, but he did, and he was known to do it, and I witnessed it.
Yep.
Right. So anyway, I messaged a couple of people being like, "Here, this fella used to eat dog shit for money," and then I put it on the like TikTok videos that he was at because he was like leading this group, and people kept like deleting it or getting reporting me, and then I told someone else and then they put it up, so they kept one up, and then they were like, it keeps getting deleted. But one of them was like, the funniest thing about this is people are looking at me like, oh, that's just someone being like really mean or really cruel. And she was like, but you know his arsehole is sweating because he's like,
you know, he was like, shit,
he's like, you know, he was sweating bullets being like, oh shit. Oh, it is true. And then every time the comment got deleted, either me or someone else I know would put it up again. So we just spent like the whole day on this one thread. Being like, this man used to eat dog shit for money. I don't know why anyone's listening to him.
He used to put dog poop in his mouth and chew and swallow for money.
And it was back in the day when dog shit was white.
What's happened to white dog shit? Where's it gone?
Oh, it's to do with that they don't put like massive amounts of calcium in dog food anymore.
Oh, the food. That makes sense. Okay.
It's the same. My brother's poo turned white when he ate all the cereal.
Do you think he prefers the non-calcified dog shit or the calcified dog shit? We should ask him. My God, if you ever again be like, hey, if you had a choice, how do you feel about the fact that there's no, is it a different taste? What is the bouquet of the new dog shit?
Which one do you prefer? I mean, there's a lot of like grain-free dog food out there now. Can you tell the difference?
But this is like what you're dealing with. Like, you kind of have to remember that a lot of these people are just morons.
Yeah, and then so then he got arrested.
Did he?
So he got arrested in Ballure at the
rally
protest here because they didn't want. Now they say they, as in the far right,
yeah,
think they say it's because they thought that he would have too much of an impact in town. He wouldn't as whole. The reason being
distracted with all the
is because
shit.
He has a TikTok and he lives close to where me and you live right now. We walk over a railway bridge every day and you can see in that house in the state there's a little football pitch.
Yeah.
He lives right close to there and he has a TikTok video where there were children who were brown who were playing in there, and he went out and asked them to move on.
Are you fucking serious?
I'm deadly serious. He then, when they moved on into the park, which is right beside my house, he then called people to come up and move them on from that park because he felt that was his park.
What?
So he wasn't arrested because he would have too much of an effect. He's arrested because he's a massive racist who is going around
harassing children
and bullying people. And he said on his TikTok that he did that because if you let one in, there would be 20 of them the next day. He also, at the protest in Ballyfermot, because this is all of this is recorded.
Yeah, that's the thing. They record everything.
And on social media,
yeah.
He was like, if it was women and children going in there, I'd let women and children. It was children playing on that football pitch, motherfucker.
And you moved them on twice, you little
and
prick.
And you moved them on. You're a fucking racist. And I hope someone in Ballyfermot plays this back out he's a racist sack of shit.
He's a racist sack of shit.
And anybody standing at that is a racist.
Facts.
Like, anybody who's like, oh,
facts.
If it was standing in front of all of those people and a woman shouted while he was saying that, like, we don't want these people here, saying, well, it's only men. And then he said, well, yeah, if it was women or children, I'd let them in there. It was children playing on that football pitch, motherfucker.
Fucking A.
And you live in a fucking social welfare house.
Yeah.
You didn't pay for that fucking house.
Yeah.
And it's a social welfare area and it's a free area for people to play in. You do not have the right to harass and bully children. And I swear to good God, you ate dog shit for money. No one will ever forget that. End of the episode.
Colin, keep
all of that in. And I hope this is put on a loudspeaker outside his house. Sir, you are talking about who should be let into this country, and you're eating dog shit for money.
And you thought the Pope was your dad.
And you thought the Pope was your dad. You fucking tick.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, everybody, have a lovely week. I'm sweating. We'll be back next week. This is a very intense episode. It all came out. We will be back next week in part two of the case and for more talk on the man who eats dog shit.
Yeah, no, I just would like to really say, Colin has a tendency to cut the episodes when they're very long. Colin, we've talked through that the entire episode that we were going to tell the story.
Leave this case, leave this story in.
Leave it in.
Leave the man eating dog shit story in. As Lauren said, you know who you are. Oh, he knows who
Lauren's
he
favorite,
is.
My favourite thing was Lauren was like, so every funny. Time they deleted a comment, Lauren would be like, and we go again!
Lauren made me laugh because she said, you know people don't believe it, but he knows it's true. He knows it's true.
He knows it's true.
But anyway, everybody have a lovely week. Don't be a racist sack of shit. Fuck the far right. Fuck Israel. Free Palestine. And we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Ah, Jesus Graham, I need to shite. Hand me the scat bag.
I'm the scat bag. Stick me in your booty when you gotta go. Just gotta go. You stick me in your booty when you gotta go.
I know you need to
just
leave
gotta
yourself
go.
Right
stick me in
now.
Your booty when you gotta go.
And I'm here to tell
just
you.
Just gotta go.
I got
stick
your
me
back.
In your booty when you gotta go.
Cause I'm the scat bag.
Where you even gonna be? Plump a bunny poop. Plump a bunny poop. Be plump a bunny poop. Plump a bunny, 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 bunny. Be plump a bunny poop. Plump a bunny poop. Be plump a bunny poop. Buddy.
Ah, Jesus Graham, I'm losing me mind. Me scat bag, it's talking to me.
Hey, Sarah Jane. Everybody does it one way or the other, so check out my message to you. If you're in a public place and you don't have the space, or you're in a real hurry and you need to poo, there's an nightly solution that doesn't cause pollution, and it's gonna be a surefire hit. Sarah Jane always carries one, Emma's gonna marry one, no pun intended. I'm the shit, I'm the scat bag. Who's the scat bag? Scat bag.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.